Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Interesting draft last night. I was certainly entertained. Man, I'm kind of gassed right now, Jades. I'm tired. We had Michael Kirkpatrick behind you there. He produced the four-hour marathon that was the whole show draft night special live from Crazy Carl's Pizza. Okay, Jades, you want to know what the worst thing about doing a show at a pizza place? We order the pizza. We get the meaty is what it is. So you can guess what's on it. A lot of meat, right? Tanner is out there. Tanner Schwint was out there of NoCo Now. And we're going to talk about some changes coming to KFK. Great job by him last night and the whole gang. And I'll get into that. But he orders a pizza. And the pizza gets out. So we start at 6 o'clock. And the pizza gets out at like 5:57. And you can't eat a pizza. You can't eat a slice of pizza in 3 minutes. Messes with your saliva and your everything. So you're going to get on the air like slobbery. And then you can't just eat one slice of pizza there. So then you're just like, so anyway, we have the pizza sitting in front of us and it's just sitting there while I'm doing the first 20 minutes of the broadcast. So that was tough. What a great night though. Had a couple of listeners pop by to say hello. My guy, my longtime listener, Joe Ram, came by. Been pushing us to do more CSU, more Fort Collins remotes lately, and bam, we were out there. And then what does he do, Jades? He calls me a homer. He says, I'm a homer. I don't think so. Maybe because I was thinking Trey McBride was going to go the first round. Doesn't necessarily make me a homer, because he wouldn't be home anymore if he went in the first round. Nah, it was a good time. It was a lot of fun. We had Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire, both of the Coloradoan. I work with Kevin every single week. Chris, we work with kind of throughout the football and basketball season with a Rams weekly type of show. And then Bruce Dick was out there. One half of Clark and the Coach brought his lovely bride out there, and that was a blast. We had Cody Tucker of 7220 came to see us. He was like, you know what? I'll drive from enemy territory down into Fort Collins. You know what he wore? You want to know what he wore, Jays? Given the timing of everything, who did the Rockies just get swept by? He wore all of his Phillies gear. And I'm like, dude, I'm wanting you to get out of here alive as a Wyoming guy. And then you come in with your Phillies gear after the Phillies just embarrassed the Rockies in a four-game series.
It's too soon.
Yeah, it was too soon. But Cody's a great dude. He's just kind of like, just he gets it, man. He's a cool guy. He came in to talk a little bit about Chad Mumma. I kind of thought Chad Mumma might go in the first round, but I guess I am a homer. So I was looking at all these local guys going, maybe, just maybe, we're going to see a few, you know, Trey McBride, Chad Mumma, go in the first round. Didn't happen. Trey McBride didn't go in the first. And now we wait and see what happens in the second round. Could Tampa Bay take him at 33? I mean, Tampa Bay is going to need a tight end with or without Gronk. I don't know what Gronk's future looks like. Denver's not till 64. Well, Trey McBride won't be there by then. So that's our poll question of the day. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Will the Broncos find a way to draft Trey McBride tonight? Somehow. Will they trade up enough in the second to get there? Because I do believe that Trey is going to go fairly early in this second round. Best available right now. You got N'Kobe Dean, another Georgia player, another Georgia line. What was it, 5 Georgia defensive players go? Is that a record? The best available, according to ESPN, is N'Kobe Dean, their linebacker from Georgia. Then it's Malik Willis, another, well, we see a second quarterback finally taken in this draft. Trey McBride is listed, according to ESPN, as the 15th best available player. Best tight end, though. You know, and I'm getting a lot of people on Twitter because I said, hey, oh, Trey McBride didn't go in the first. Guess he's going to have to prove a lot of people wrong, and you guys are coming at me saying, no, it has nothing to do with that. Teams just wanted, they wanted to get offensive linemen. They wanted to get edge rushers. Tight end was not, you know, the theme of the draft this year. Oh, great. Neat. What I'm saying is, if teams valued Trey to that point where we got to have him, they'd take him. And that's not a knock on Trey. That's a knock on those 32 teams. Trey McBride, I think, is going to be... I mean, Kevin Lytle and I were going back and forth, and Kevin's certainly more of a realist than I am. I get a little excited. I get a little into it. But, man, I think we only scratched the surface with what Trey McBride can do, considering who he was under last year, who his coach was the last 2 years with Steve Adazio. Trey was not utilized the way he should have been. One touchdown for the best tight end of the country? Get out of here with that. I think we've only scratched the surface. Whoever gets him, it's going to be somebody had texted me earlier, it's going to be highway robbery. Whoever ends up getting Trey McBride. Yes, you're exactly right. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So that's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. I have two questions. I have one on my Twitter box you guys can check out. And then I have one on our thewholeshow.com. Will the Broncos move up? Will they do enough to get Trey McBride? So here's my other poll question there, Jades. Which local star would you take for Denver between, if they were available, wherever you end up in the second, Trey McBride at tight end or linebacker Chad Muma? Both guys are relatively big needs, maybe the largest other than the right tackle situation, which Denver's feeling a little bit better about the offensive line, apparently, these days. We're going to have Zach Stevens on to break it down for us, what they might do, where they might go with this, but are they happy with Billy Turner, Quinn, you know, move Quinn Miners into maybe the right guard, Graham Glasgow, we'll see there, but Billy Turner is kind of the question. Right tackle, linebacker, maybe tight end. Maybe in that order. That's what Denver's going to be looking at here. So the poll is, and this, I mean, I don't know how much of this is just Rams fans and Broncos fans crossing over. That poll has 83% saying Trey McBride over, 16% saying linebacker Chad Muma. That is tough for me, dude. I got to admit. I know that you guys have been hearing me say Trey McBride would look great in a Broncos uniform, but here's where I am with that. They can't go wrong if they take one of those guys. I wouldn't mind seeing Chad Muma if I had to pick. I think we got a good text on that one from Paul saying Muma is more needed on this roster. Although I'd love to see Trey in orange and blue. That's the thing. He's more needed. Because Albert O, are you, like, kind of okay with Albert O being your starting quarter or your starting tight end? I think you're all right with that. And if you're all right with that, you're not going to draft Trey McBride because, okay, you got your number one. If you get Trey McBride at number one and Albert O is your number two, well, there's a lot of interesting sets you can do at the tight end position. But the linebacker spot, they certainly need filled. No doubt about it. You look in the middle. It's Josie Jewell, who they like, but then Alex Singleton. And we'll see if Justin Sternad can take another step. He kind of took a step last year, but maybe not big enough. So I'll be curious to see. Muma is not listed in the top 25 of the best available, which I thought is kind of interesting. Where is he? Where is he? Am I missing it? He's not listed until... I'm moving down the chain here. There's a lot of players ranked above him. So Muma's the kind of guy could probably get in the second or the third, excuse me. Did I miss it, Jades? Where is Chad Muma? The Cowboy. He's not even in any of these as far as the best available. Wow. It's a shock to me. All right. Did I miss that? Just trying to see. There's Trey McBride at 15. No, I'm not seeing Chad Muma in like the top 30 or 40 or 50 available. So maybe he's the kind of guy you can wait for. You know, you see what you got. All right, let's do it. What'd you think of the NFL draft? Two defensive ends taken in the first two picks. Not a big shocker. Jags go with Trayvon Walker, monster, and then Aiden Hutchinson goes to Detroit. Then you saw two corners taken. You got Derek Stingley out of LSU, and then Sauce Ahmad Gardner out of Cincinnati. Jets kind of, I mean, they had three first-round picks, man. They had a good showing. They had a good draft. Then you had another defensive end, Thibodeau out of Oregon. Then you started with the offensive players. So you go hot and heavy, five picks in a row, defensive guys. Get after the quarterback, slow down receivers. That's what the first five picks told us. The next, it's funny, the next few, protect the quarterback, give him someone to throw to. So you had two tackles taken, 6 and 7, then a wide receiver, Drake London out of USC. I mean, it was a really rich offensive line and edge rush draft. Drake London out of USC goes to Atlanta. Charles Cross, Seattle does not take a quarterback. Drew Locke, thinking his lucky star, survived another first round. That would have been early to take any of these quarterbacks, though. So we're still at 9, no quarterbacks. Garrett Wilson, we get two Ohio State wide receivers in a row. Another one to the stud to the Jets. Chris Olave out of Ohio State. Alabama's wide receiver, Jameson Williams goes to Detroit. Detroit gets their D end and they get a wide receiver. Philadelphia, they go D tackle. Okay, that's the first of that. Then you see a random safety thrown in there. Kyle Hamilton's really good, though. Another guard, offensive lineman, wide receiver. So we didn't see a quarterback taken until number 20. And the Pittsburgh Steelers take Kenny Pickett to compete. Oh, boy, that's going to be an interesting battle there. I was kind of shocked they went and said, okay, well, we like Mitchell Trubisky, but we're going to go this route instead. And Mitchell's could still win the game. Mitch Trubisky could still win the competition. But now look at your quarterback room, Pittsburgh. Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, and Mason Rudolph. Yeah, interesting. Then it got interesting for Trey McBride. I was on Trey McBride watch around the 20s. And I thought maybe you were going to see Green Bay go with the tight end. What did they do, though, Jades? They went with defense. Aaron Rodgers be damned. We got two picks in the first, and we're going to go defense. We go with a linebacker and a defensive tackle. I thought maybe Tampa Bay would get him. Was it 27? Tampa Bay made sense. They traded out of the first round. I thought, does it make sense for the Patriots to go? And then they get Cole Strange out of Chattanooga. He was listed as like 104 in most of the mocks. What do the Patriots know that we don't? It's like that year when the Broncos jumped the gun and took Tim Tebow because they were scared the Patriots were going to get Tim Tebow. Obviously, Tebow was ultimately not worth a first-round pick. Probably not second or third or fourth or fifth or sixth. Patriots go with Cole Strange, okay? What do they know that we don't? They must really wanted a guard. Then I thought maybe the Bengals might take him. Take Trey McBride. But they go with safety as well, Daxton Hill. Oh, that's a good pick. Daxton Hill's a stud. And then Minnesota finished the draft, taking another safety. So two safeties in a row to end the night. The theme, though, this is my favorite part of the draft, when the Broncos especially are not involved in the first round, is I like to look at the theme of what this draft tells us. You know, there's going to be your safeties in there and a linebacker or two, a D tackle. The theme of the draft was get after the quarterback. Get an edge rusher that can put pressure on all of these amazing quarterbacks. And then it's protect the quarterback. That's the theme. Go get him, protect him. There's a lot. There was a few wide receivers taken. I mean, how many wide receivers? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 wide receivers taken. What was that? Can we find the best? Who won the position day? Was it wide receivers? So you had 6 wide receivers taken. How many edge rushers ultimately went? How many defensive ends? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. And then how many tackles? You had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But then if you want to go to guard, there were 3. So 8 offensive linemen taken in the first round. That was the big theme. But again, the defensive ends, the edge rushers were taken fairly early in this. You got pick number 1, pick number 2, pick number 5, and then you didn't see one again until 26, 20, and 30, I suppose. But that was kind of the top 10 theme anyway. Get after the quarterback and make sure you protect him. Eastside Chris, Brady last night was great. Didn't have to worry about a potential 9th pick selection. Kick back and relax. No gamble, no throwing darts. We got Russell freaking Wilson. Now we can play, make a play for Trey McBride. Judy to Houston to get pick 37. I don't know about Jerry Judy. That'd be kind of a blockbuster type deal. What a weird offseason. Look at this, dude. A.J. Brown is now an Eagle. That trade was nuts. But he said he wanted $22 million, and they only offered him, what, $16? Marquise Brown is a Cardinal. Tyreek Hill's a Dolphin. Did you forget about that? Devontae Adams is a Raider. Allen Robinson is a Ram. And Amari Cooper is a Brown. It's crazy. Wide receivers were thrown all over the place, and then wide receivers were drafted all over the place last night. It was entertaining. You're right. The pressure was off. We weren't too worried about what the Broncos were going to do because they got Russell Wilson. 23 minutes after the hour. I do want to thank one of our great sponsors. It's On the Rocks Liquor. It's Friday. It's been a long week. It's been kind of a long week. Stop by On the Rocks Liquor. Pick up our game beer of the week. It's from Horse and Dragon Brewing in Fort Collins. Electric Mayhem Hefeweizen. That's an NFL draft type beer, isn't it? Electric Mayhem. Pick up selections from Horse and Dragon Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive through. They're open until midnight every single night. Got free tastings tonight, too. This one's from Ten Bears Winery. 4 o'clock to 7. Just a few hours away at On the Rocks Liquor. All right. We've got a lot to get to today. Crazy lead up to the draft. We'll talk a little bit more about that. What are the Broncos going to do? I wasn't on yesterday, so I will give you kind of my assessment of the Nuggets and how things went down in the series. The aftermath, where do we go from here? Joker's future, Jamal's future. They are speaking right now to Denver media, so I'll try to break into some of that. So much more to get to. Avs start the playoffs, too. Are we worried? They limped into the playoffs. Also, the weekend review coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. On Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Stick with us. We're live from the Allo Communication Studios.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-nine minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back. Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. So they're Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., they're all speaking to the media today down in Denver, and they're doing it right now. And Jamal Murray just said, according to Harrison Wind, who tweeted this out moments ago. Let me see if I can find the quote here. I feel like I'm going to come back with a slightly new style. Those first few games will be kind of rough. I wouldn't have played in a year and a half. I have no doubt that I can return to form. Okay. Michael Porter Jr. said he probably could have played, but he wouldn't have been at his best, and he had to think about his long term rather than the short term. In hindsight, was it the right move? I mean, personally, it's going to be up to those guys, right? And I suppose in hindsight, yeah, you look at Klay Thompson's advice. He was out for quite some time. He came back, got hurt again. So you do want to be careful, too, because when you come back and maybe this ACL tore, but you start favoring that ACL and you put a lot of pressure on the other ACL, the other leg. And that's sometimes where you can see issues, too. We'll get into more Nuggets aftermath. After losing the series 4-1 to Golden State on Wednesday night, Denver will turn the page and hope they can reboot, hope they can get their guys back next season. Shout out to the GOAT. Stop by and get in on some of this NFL draft action tonight. And Rockies. Whoo, the Rockies. Yikes. You can go watch the Avalanche playoffs. All a couple of months long for the Avs. Pressure's on Colorado, no doubt. I think the expectations are you got to get to the finals. You got to get to the Stanley Cup finals. Jades, are you a big hockey guy? Okay, so our challenge, you know our challenge. We got to watch hockey playoffs. You and me, we're going to do it. We're going to learn hockey playoffs.
I was planning on watching it this year.
Well, there you go. We can learn it together. Learn the rules of the game. And that'll be your challenge. You got to pick up something new from every game. Something new that you learned. Listen, I used to be a big Avs guy. And I've talked about this on my show. When I was growing up in the 90s, the Joe Sakic, Forsberg, Adam Foote, Patrick Waugh, Hey Duke, I mean, all those guys. Loved it. Loved hockey. Adam Foote was my guy. Then they, a couple years later, they go on the lockout. They get back. Get another cup. And then they go on another lockout. And I kind of, at that point, I just phased out completely. I just gave up. And then started the talk show, of course. And we have such an emphasis on Colorado State, University of Northern Colorado, and Colorado. We try to squeeze in as much as we can. But yeah, you guys know. Hooligans know. Hockey's not something I discuss on a regular basis. But we're going to do it. We're going to get a little sounder going for it. We're going to get a little excitement rolling. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be amazing. And we're going to follow this team all the way to the cup. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. What will the Broncos do with that number 64? It's going to be an inside linebacker. Zach Stevens told us, and we'll see what's changed with him when we bring him on at 105 today. Is it going to be an inside linebacker? As far as the best available, when you look at it, where Denver is, I mean, Denver's so far down, a lot of the top 20 guys here that are the best available aren't going to be there. Is Trey McBride going to be there? He is listed at number 15. Muma's listed as the fourth best linebacker, inside linebacker available. But there's not that many great inside linebackers available as far as that go. Okay, I just skimmed over it, Jades. He's listed as 37. Muma's listed as the 37th best player available. So, again, if you're just going by the numbers, he's right outside the second round. But that's not how that works. We all know that. What's the quarterback situation going to be like? You got Malik Willis. You got Desmond Ridder. You got Matt Corral. You got Sam Howell. You got Carson Strong, the Nevada guy. This is the fifth best quarterback available. These are all going to be project guys. These are all going to be guys that come in and compete for a job. Even Pickett's probably competing for the job. This was the least sexiest quarterback group we've ever seen. Maybe ever? I mean, look at your drafts year by year. There was always at least two. You know, I remember the year Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota were picked, and they were like kind of the only two, but they were still like big enough. You know, last year, there's a few good quarterbacks there. There was always some kind of quarterback, and this has just been, you don't see one until pick number 20 to Pittsburgh. 35 minutes after the hour, what's next for the Denver Nuggets? What's next for Nikola Jokic, the roster? Who's under contract right now? Who's not? We'll talk about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
It's hard to, find that silver lining, because we didn't win. And that's what we came here for tonight, was to win the game. But as a head coach, I couldn't be more proud of a group that could have rolled over after the third game, fought at home to extend the series, and put ourselves in a great position. I mean, all these people out there, no one gave us a chance to win the series. And I think there are a lot of people that were saying that tonight was going to be a rout. We're going to get blown out. And that's not who we are, so as a coach, for every player in that locker room that played, that didn't play, extremely proud for getting through an 82-game season with 48 wins in light of different injuries and circumstances, and playing a team that is battle-tested in the Golden State Warriors in game 3, 4, and 5, we gave ourselves a chance every night. So I'm going to go home with my head held high, as are my players, and we know that we will continue to work and put the time in to come back a better team next season.
That's well said by Malone. A few things I want to get into. We've got some other clips we want to bust into. That's well and good. And I've been critical of, our very own Tanner Schwendt here. He's saying get rid of him. He needs gone. He's not the guy to get him over the hump. You're not making that move right now. So it's a moot point. Because it shouldn't even be a discussion. When do you want the tone for Michael Malone to change from I'm going to get out of here, we lost 4-1, I'm going to hold my head, I'm going to walk out of here with my head held high? He absolutely should this series. If you lose in the first round, I would say if you lose in the second round and you walk away and that you have a similar post game like that, where, we gave it our all, we're going to go out of here with our head held high, then I think we start to say, okay, that's it then. I do think Michael Malone will be under some pretty intense pressure next season. I think the Nuggets need to get a top 4 seed. I think they need to easily get past the first round. I think they need to battle it out and get past the second. And then I think pressure comes off of Michael Malone. Get to the Western Conference Finals. That's my expectations based on the roster right now. Do I think they can win a title? Maybe. Maybe. You're really going to need to see how it works out with Jamal and Michael Porter Jr. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I thought Aaron Gordon was interesting in what he had to say, kind of just about working smarter over the offseason and learning. And again, some people were critical of what he had to say here. Here it is.
Working harder and much more about working smarter. I mean, to elaborate, I'm playing with Jokic, who's one of the smartest basketball players in the world. So got to raise my level of IQ to help him, to help everyone, to help the coaching staff. So just becoming more a student of the game. And I've relied on my talent for so long, just natural talent and not enough on the cerebral part of the game. So I think now's the time to switch.
He's 26 years old. I a lot of people are like, "What? Wait, you're just now learning you got to be smart?" Do you remember when Aaron Gordon came into the league? He was like, slam dunk, dude, slam dunk. He didn't win that year, though, did he? That was like one of the best dunk contests, but he ended up coming up second, right?
He lost to Zach LaVine.
Right, and that was an epic battle, wasn't it? That was kind of the last good one, wasn't it? So anyway, Aaron Gordon, that's who he was. Just a Greek god type of ball player. Just the build was there. He was the go-to for Orlando. Well, guys, this is still a fairly new transition for him. He didn't join Denver until the trade, right before the trade deadline last year. He hasn't been a Nugget that long. This was his first full year with Denver, and learning how to not be a superstar, and learning how to be, well, I guess in this offense, he was asked to be number two. With Jamal and Michael Porter Jr. last year, he was asked to be number three or four. So which transition was harder? Going from a one in Orlando to a four, three or four, or going from a one to a three or four to back to a two? So in fairness, I feel like his journey with the Nuggets was very interesting. I have no problem with that kind of saying, as far as I got to work smarter. Now, again, people are critical of me because they're saying, well, when are we going to, you know, we've been saying Jamal Murray's going to work out. We're going to say Michael Porter Jr. is going to work out. You had a lot of crazy things happen in the last 3 years, folks. Michael Porter Jr. wasn't really a part of the scheme in 2020, bubble year. And then that was obviously a good year. The next year, Porter took a huge step. Jamal Murray gets hurt. And then Porter was shut down in the playoffs. You guys, look at this. Jades, give me some efforting music here. I gotta dig this up. Warriors, I just want to look at this. And I know they switched their head coach, but I also have some thoughts on that. Okay, I got it. Thank you. Thank you, Jade. Thank you for that. Okay. So when they started getting into the playoffs on a regular basis, back when they recharged and the Steph Curry world began, they beat the Nuggets, lost in the second round. You know what they did the next year? Lost in the first round. You know what they did in the third year? Well, they won. They won the NBA Finals. They switched up their coaches, and they got it done. The next year, they lost. The next year, they won. The next year, they won. That they had 2 years where they got into the playoffs, and they did have to lose two series, though. They lost two series, essentially, in a row. Well, the Nuggets, for them, they get in with Jamal Murray the first year, and they go to two game sevens in a row, and they won their first one, obviously. Then the next year was the bubble year, right? It was weird. And then the next year, Jamal Murray's out. Third year, right? The Nuggets have been to the playoffs. Am I right on this? This is the fourth season the Nuggets have been to the playoffs in a row. So in their defense, Golden State, they lost in the second round their first year. Then they get bounced in the first round their second year. Well, Denver in their third year, as opposed to Golden State in their third year, fired their coach, went and hired Steve Kerr, won the title. All right, amazing. Imagine if Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, let's just say Klay Thompson gets hurt that year. Imagine if Klay Thompson gets hurt that year, year three. Are they winning a title? No. Are they beating the Pelicans? The Pelicans, that was an easier team. Are they beating the Pelicans? Maybe, but they're not sweeping them. Are they beating the Grizzlies? They won that series 4-2. I don't know. I just don't know. But I know you're not probably winning a title. Are you going that far without Klay Thompson, year three of this experiment? No. So Denver's year three, they're without Jamal Murray. And then year four, obviously they're without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. And I get it. They haven't proved a lot necessarily. Jamal has. Jamal's proved a good chunk. He's a good player. He's not a great player. Can he be a great player? Show us what you did in the bubble, and you're there. All right, here is Michael Malone talking about Nikola Jokic and, you know, just the lack of respect that surrounds him.
I just don't understand the people that find a way to criticize Nikola Jokic. Is he perfect? No, I'm not saying he is, but the guy is the definition of a warrior, competitive, consistent, and he impacts the game in so many ways. So hell of a season, and hopefully he'll win the MVP again, because I think rightfully he deserves it.
I think he's going to get the second MVP. Here's Nikola Jokic on what it would mean to win the most valuable player again 2 years in a row.
If it happens, you know, it's a great thing, of course. It's something that probably legacy, my name is always going to be there. But if I don't get it, I'm not going to die. I'm just going to keep trying to play the right way, like I did my whole life. So it would be nice, but if it happens.
Nikola, if that happens, how will you celebrate?
I mean, I don't know. Probably with some music, beer, friends around, family. Like how you're supposed to do, probably.
Don't you just want to, like, go to Serbia and, like, hang out with Joker on his probably beautiful little ranch with all these horses? And just have beers with Joker. It's probably the most laid back party you'll ever be in. That would be awesome for me. Not a big like. That's not me. I'm more like sit out, campfire it up, have a few beers, listen to tunes, talk about horses and sports, whatever. That'd be sweet. All right, we'll get more into the Nuggets. I got more on that. More thoughts there. You guys weigh in. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What's the future hold for Will Barton? Is his days as a starter numbered? He has one more year left on that contract. What about guys like Jeff Green, Facu Campazzo, Jamichael Green, and so on? We'll get to that and more. I got Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, so you're not going to want to miss that. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. I'll read your text when we come back. We're live from the Aller Communications Studios. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
I would like it, of course, but it's not something that I'm deciding. I think, of course, if offer is on the table, of course I'm gonna accept it, because I really like the organization. I really like the people who work here. I'm really good in really good relationship with everybody, from owner to let's say equipment manager. So I think I really like. I think I'm. We have something that we're building, and it actually feels really good.
How simple was that, folks? Your superstar, your MVP, doesn't need to think about it. Doesn't need to go home and think. He's already en route to Serbia, by the way. Just now. He's gone. He's heading out. Bye-bye, Joker. He will rest now. Like Thanos at the end of those movies. Joker is expected to sign a 5-year, $254 million extension with the Nuggets. It would be the richest contract in NBA history. Get it done. Zach Stevens, Broncos talk, draft talk, up next.